And we are live. Hey, this is podcast number two from the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. My name is Eric Stahl. I'm one of the social media folks here. And sitting to my left immediately is the voice.
My name is Jacob Irish. I'm the vice president of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
My name is Jason Spires. I'm a member of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and enthusiastic to be a member of it.
And also recently chair of petitioning.
Yeah, congratulations.
So very exciting.
Yes.
My name is Dana Olson. I am the chair of marketing and communications for the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
And I am Donnie Henry, and I am the secretary of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria, and I intend to announce my candidacy for chairman of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria for next month.
So the gauntlet is thrown down.
Yes, it's down.
All right, so today is February 15th. We just had our meeting. It was a great meeting. We had a tremendous Liberty Talk. Who did that?
West.
Yeah.
Awesome job.
Yes, yeah. On jury nullification.
Yeah, so if you missed that, if you weren't here tonight, and there was quite a few people here, you can go to our Facebook page and you can watch it. And I think Dana even got some close-up video. Maybe you'll post some of that.
Yeah, I'll be posting that on YouTube in the next few days. So yeah, keep an eye out for that,
yeah,
guys.
Great stuff. So we meet the first Thursday.
Second Thursday.
Second Thursday of every month here at W.E. Sullivan's. And certainly come out next month and you'll catch more of this. We've got great guests, great speakers, and great stuff. All right, so tonight's meeting had a lot of great stuff to talk about. Liberty Talk. Jury nullification. Seemed like there was some other stuff you wanted to branch off on that, Donnie.
Well, we always talk about the drama here. You know, I think we hear it here first. We talk real about it. So, Libertarians of Illinois.
That's where we should dive in.
Yeah, I think we should dive right in. So one of the things that came out, and I wanted to address because I just thought it was interesting, was one of the rumors was that one of the candidates who was the front runner was going to tell their voting members at the convention to vote for the person that they thought was less of a threat, so that in the first round they would knock out their highest competition. Now, for you guys that don't know, here's the deal: is when we get to the convention, we're going to have a vote, and if nobody breaks 50%, the lowest vote bidder gets out. Mm-hmm. You know, they're out, and then everybody has to re-vote until we get over 50%. So it was kind of controversial. Everybody said that it was, you know, unprincipled, but to me, I just think it's damn good strategy. What do you guys think?
Well, I know Jason is principled, so you might not like that.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
No, I would say that that's politics. Yeah. And if you can't accept that people are going to do that, like, we like to pride ourselves on not being the Democrats or the Republicans, but at the end of the day, we're a political party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have campaign managers and we have campaign strategists. And if you can't accept that opponents are going to do anything within the rules of the party and the laws as we accept it, then you're in the wrong game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but you also have to take in perspective the fact that he's saying that means he's kind of scared that he's not going to get 50%.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought was, you know, we're definitely a political party and a political force. I thought it was, hey, it's a strategy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
But Dana just said, do they not think they're going to get it? So
no,
that's their strategy?
Yeah.
Like,
that is
okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and okay. let's be very clear. I think that at this point in the race, most people look at, and if anybody thinks that I'm wrong, tell me, that Cash is kind of the front runner right now. We think he's going to roll in with the most votes. You guys agree that?
Maybe felt that way a month ago.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't know that I feel that way now.
I feel like, you know, since our last podcast, a lot's changed.
Yeah.
I feel like Matt is totally present.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like John has a nice, calm message,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like Cash dropped off face of the earth.
Yeah,
so. I agree with that.
Yeah.
A month ago, I would have said, yeah, you know, Cash Jackson, the social media presence and the powerhouse, but Matt Scarrow's really come back full force since his trip.
Yeah.
We talked about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I love his videos. I love the videos. I watch every single one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And John Stewart's message is to me is on point, calm demeanor, mm-hmm. and structured.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I guess a lot of people are upset about the unprincipledness, but I think at this point you guys are right. If it's true that Cash may have been slipping a little bit, he may not want to be throwing his votes at anybody else. You know, you never know. It could hit you back. But.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Whatever Scarrow did, and he's not in the room right now, thankfully, so he can't hear this praise heaped. But whatever he's done with these video productions and starting that right now, both the other candidates are playing catch up at this point. They cannot get the compete with that fast enough.
And let's be honest, I think Cash put a video out. His wasn't even close to the substance that Matt put out.
Yeah. I love the encyclopedias in the background of the video. I mean, it's
where
just...
Where did he get those?
I don't know. But I do watch every single one of them, and it does get a message across that the other two candidates are a little bit lacking right now.
Mm-hmm. When I watched Cash's video, especially when he was comparing it to the Great Depression, mm-hmm. I did think it was short on substance, mm-hmm. but I will say that the optics, he looked very governor-like.
He
looked very well presented, and if we be honest, I really think that commercial could play with downstate voters and get a lot of votes for him, mm-hmm. because he has the cowboy rugged image, but yet cleans up to be a politician.
However,
when I watch Scaro's videos, mm-hmm. I think he comes off a little more conversational in his videos, and then explains something, and he does it real good with keeping his videos at 2 minutes.
Yeah, they're nice and punchy.
And And I could actually see that, like, on a radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. You know, and I could actually see that making ground to someone listening to that.
Yeah.
Because it's enough facts without inundating you with overboiling numbers.
See, now, I was a Ross Perot independent. Mm-hmm. And to me, what Scar's doing there reminds me of, like, Ross Perot when I was a kid. Because Ross would buy an hour of network time, and he would show you the charts. Mm-hmm. And he'd talk to you matter-of-factly. And I'm like, man, look at this. This guy's actually telling us what's going on. Mm-hmm. I feel like Scar's kind of doing that, too. He's taking a different route than any other candidate.
Well, and Ross Perot, when he got the video time like that, he was in the campaign, had a good shot of winning the actual popular vote, mm-hmm. due to the House of Representatives having to vote it after that if no one gets electoral majority.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up quitting the election and then coming back in
and still
got 19% of the vote.
I know, I was there for both times.
Yeah. I mean, he got 19, we only need 5.
Yeah. I would just say, though, the one thing that you've got to take into consideration, though, is what John Stewart always says, is that if I can't buy it at Walgreens or I can't, I don't see it in the paper, it's not real media,
That's right.
So I'm not trying to discredit what we're doing here, but,
Yes, and you're completely, just because we like some Facebook videos certainly doesn't mean that that's going to play on the Chicago news or anything like that. Yeah.
I just want to touch back with something that you said, Jason, where you were saying that with the video that Cash brought out was that it was, he looked like the governor candidate and everything, but he lacked substance. And that is a critique that we've heard from Cash time and time again. So I don't know about anyone's political leanings right now about who they're going to vote for the convention, but at the same time, like, isn't that something that we need to be concerned about, that that's the critique that we keep hearing about Cash time and time again?
I think the more concerning part about that is that he gets a lot of feedback. Cash gets his feedback, and then he does nothing with it.
Well,
that's the most concerning.
I have to defend him in some respects. If I have noticed that he is getting better at actually mentioning data points, mm-hmm. and figures. Like, in the last debate, he started mentioning the Department of Health and Human Services, almost to the point where, like, I was like, stop saying it, because you've said it 3 times now. But I get what he was trying to do with that. But I'm saying he's getting better with naming things, but it's still not the wide spectrum I'd like to see.
But this is not a bash on Cash. I think we figured
bash
that out.
Bash on Cash.
Right? No, this is not.
All
but don't you feel, based on the presence that you've gotten, the facts that he's getting and presenting are facts that have already been distributed by the other candidates?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that they were first.
And I heard.
But I've noticed that when you ask him on the spot, such as in debates or anything like that, is that he doesn't bring up any facts, he doesn't bring up any figures, anything like that. It's always kind of the general emotion and the feeling in that moment. But when you start to get, and then, like, later on, when he actually has time to think and practice, that's when the things start practicing.
Well,
so,
can we agree that Cash kind of had a cult following inside the party with some
people?
Oh, absolutely.
What a powerhouse that is.
Well, look at that fact. I would say Cash had a cult following. He's not the same candidate. Mm-hmm. I'm comparing it. The same way Donald Trump had a cult following.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump didn't need facts.
Yeah.
He'd get up and say blue is red, and his believers would believe it, even when they know he's lying. He's like, well, they don't really mean that, but guess what?
Yep, the sky is
green.
He
won.
Yeah.
And when you think about that, Cash has that cowboy appeal, and it makes me wonder if he can get the 5%. Being said, I would not want him to... I would want him to be very thoroughly knowledgeable on issues if he was to actually get the office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're almost 10 minutes in, and we got two guests we want to bring in. And we're trying to keep this thing 30 minutes or so to keep you all interested. Should we bring our first guest in?
Yeah, let me just say a thing about it. I said this in the meeting today. Sanj Mohip is running for Lieutenant Governor. He announced just a couple weeks ago, kind of a late bloomer into the race, and we'll get into that. But I met Sand with Eve, my lover, as she likes to say. I met Sand at the National Convention in 2016. He was actually supporting John McAfee. He was one of part of his team. And he was. I got to know Sand, and I can tell you that he is absolutely a very true blue libertarian. And I'm excited about his run, and I think that you guys should be too. So I know that I'm kind of bragging about him, but without further ado, we have Sanj.
Welcome to the podcast, Sanj.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Great to be here. This is not pandering. I really do like Peoria. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is pretty
I've been
cool.
here a few times now.
Yes,
like,
he has.
You know, it's kind of cool. And no traffic, so I really like that.
Yeah, we enjoy that.
Yes.
Sand, what got you in the race?
I just felt there was an opportunity to run. I saw how it was going, and I said, well, you know, people started asking me if I would like to run at any for any office, and I really didn't at first want to. But I saw the opportunity there. I saw this was a big year for this party, with Rauner having such poor approval ratings, and now he might be the Democrat nominee, Pritzker. He's also unliked, and I felt that this would be a great opportunity for the Libertarian Party. So I wanted to get involved in a campaign, but people said I should step in and run. And I gave it a lot of thought. And I thought, you know what, I would actually do a really good job. I could get out there and I could talk liberty if they ever put a mic in my face. I'd be happy to do it. I could talk about our governor candidate. I could talk about Claire Ball, Steve Duttner, Mike Lahaney, and even Bubba Harsey. The whole ticket, I would talk about them and why we're running and why they should. If they can't bring themselves to vote for a libertarian governor, why not vote for a libertarian comptroller? Mm-hmm. Why not vote for a libertarian treasurer? What do you have to lose? I mean, how many people can name the comptroller or treasurer of the state when you walk around and ask them?
Susana Mendoza.
And since
Gold Star.
I've never run for office before. I've never run as a Democrat or a Republican or as an independent. I've never run for class office in school, like class president. I've never run, but I wanted to do this. And you know, Lieutenant Governor is not the position that gets all the glory anyway. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I can go out there and just talk. Again, if you asked many of the people in this bar, who's the current lieutenant governor, I don't know if they would even know. So, not us, because we're into politics and we know that
political
yeah.
Games.
Yeah.
So there was already a candidate running.
There is.
I mean,
yes.
And he has not been here to represent himself, and this isn't, certainly isn't, you know, any kind of bash on him. But
bash on do.
Huh?
Bash on do. Hashtag.
Oh, there you go. We're all about hashtags.
We're
all about social
hashtag.
Media. But was there something about Williams that you thought that you could bring more to the table? Was there a reason that you decided to hop in here?
Well, we have different styles. You know, I really like to try and find the common ground between people. And that, from what I've seen, that doesn't seem to be his style. You know, if I talk to a Democrat, I want to find that one libertarian issue that they agree on and go from there. If I talk to a Republican, you know, maybe they have a libertarian issue. And start with that, a conversation like that. I think everyone has some libertarian issue. So,
that's true.
And that's kind of my style. Mm-hmm. So it's different from his style, I think. I would say, I don't know if you would agree or from what you've seen.
Yeah, well, he hasn't come to see us, so I mean, I don't really know.
Yeah, it's a fair statement, honestly.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
So I have a question, kind of a little bit of a redirect. So at the convention, and just say one of the current governor candidates ends up waterfalling down to the lieutenant governor, how do you feel that you will fare against, John Stewart, Cash Jackson, or Matthew Ciscaro?
They, those three have a bigger following than me, so it'd probably be tough, but I'm not going to drop out if that's what you're asking. I would stay in and run. So.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm taking pictures. I do everything.
I don't know if that answered your question, though.
Not entirely.
To tell you the truth,
I'm honestly asking, like, you're running right now. We have three great, candidates right now. So if, like, what makes you different than those three candidates? And just say, like, especially two of the candidates might end up waterfalling. So you don't know. But what makes you different than our current governor candidates?
I would, again, the way I talk about liberty, I think, is different from everyone else. My mannerisms are different from everyone else, too. I mean, if you want someone who's really, looking for the word here, but I'm a little more laid back than those guys. And if you want someone very energetic, you might not want to vote. You might think about voting for one of the governor candidates, though. But if you want someone who's going to support the governor, do what the governor asks, the governor candidate might want me to campaign on his behalf, and I would be more than happy to do that. He might want me to run my own issue independent of him, and I'm happy to do that, too. He might want me to take a step back if he wants more, if he wants to look more like he's in charge, mm-hmm. I will do that too.
I think that's a great point on Sanja's behalf. I mean, just the fact that these people are all larger than life, personas for our state party, right? So my thought is if we do nominate one of them, we have to accept that they're going to be two larger than life personas running for governor and lieutenant governor, and that's a good point, Sanja, is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, I'm very willing to do the work, whatever it entails. If they need me to do research, if they need me to drive to the end of the state to talk to four people, I'm willing to do that.
So one last quick question.
Sure.
Quick answer. What made you wait so long?
Okay. I actually didn't wait that long. I had come up with I had made my decision in the summer, almost the end of summer. I was strongly advised to delay my announcement. And I talked to him and he said, say my name. I was strongly advised by Brian Lambrecht to not announce. And he would be happy to tell you why. I'm not going to get into that.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Jason, you got something?
I just have a quick question. Sure. It's not so much about your candidacy as much about Illinois government. Libertarians generally take the view that less government is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And that being said, do you believe that we should even have a lieutenant governor elected in the state? Do you think the office should even exist?
That's a great question, and I've gotten that question before, and here's how I'll answer it. I would like, if I was governor, I would like at least one one barrier between myself and Michael Madigan. Like, if I had to step down, I would like to know that there was a libertarian that would step in. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily believe it has to be a full-time job while you're lieutenant. You could be on call. I don't believe you need permanent housing. They tell me I need to be in Springfield. I could call up and, get an Airbnb for those 2 days, I would not need to be a full-time. If my governor would want to make it a part-time position, I'm very happy to do that.
Yeah. So, obviously, your job is going to be, tailback for the governor. So you're going to have to really work with that person closely. Is there somebody in this campaign right now that you prefer of the three?
I'm going to be a good politician and say three good candidates.
Come on. You are such a decisive man.
I really have to, I really don't want to say, because I really need to know who is going to be the governor before, because that has a lot of bearing on my candidacy and what I'm going to focus on. So all three have different campaign issues. So, I mean, we have three good candidates, and whatever the party decides is the best. I'm going to back 100%.
Okay.
Well, cool. Sam, do you have anything else to tell everybody?
No, thanks for having me on. It was nice to be here at your meeting. Donnie, thanks for the kind words when you introduced me.
You know I love you, buddy. So.
Thank you for coming.
I'm not Donnie's lover, but I do.
No,
she's across the room.
I only wish.
All right. Hey, you're socially liberal there.
Wait, no scandal. This is a joke. It's like KitchenGate. This is a joke.
Only a joke.
I accept your life choice.
The video is flipping right.
Donnie is pandering now.
I'm pandering.
Now he's a real political advisor.
Donnie's running for that cabinet position really hard.
Eve's over there. I love you. Okay, well, Sam,
thank you so much, Sam. I appreciate you coming down here. All right, so.
Thank you.
What did you guys think?
Well, he's still in the room.
Oh, man.
So okay. No, just kidding with you, Sam. No, you know, honestly, again, our meetings are phenomenal because look at the we had John Stewart here, we have Matt Ciscaro here, we have Sanj. Does it get any better than this?
No.
Does any other group in the state?
How much fun have we had over the last 6 months having candidates? Yes. You know, Matt in the parade and Cash in the parade and coming down here. It's awesome.
No, it's every month. It's a great meeting. So
yes.
Can't beat this.
Liberty Talks, too.
Hashtag Liberty Talks.
LibertyPlays.com.
Let's bring the big dog in. Yeah.
Yes.
Come on.
Okay.
Matthew Ciscaro.
He's dying. He's just been waiting in the wings, man.
I do love
him. He's chomping at the bit here.
I do.
All right, so please welcome the podcast, candidate for governor of the state of Illinois, Matthew Ciscaro.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate that. Thank you guys for having me.
What do you think?
I love it, man. Are you kidding me? I love doing podcasts like this. You know, I do an MMA podcast. I'm a big podcaster, man. And I listen to a lot of podcasts, too. In fact, speaking of podcasts, this Saturday at 1:00, I'm going to be recording with Lions of Liberty, Mark Claire.
Okay.
So that's a pretty big podcast here in libertarian circles. Mm-hmm. So, and I love the first one that you guys did. I like the fact that you guys, you know, you're honest, right? I mean,
that's the whole point of the day. I think we said this in the first one. We were trying to set a tone because it felt like in social media and conversing, nobody could be honest with each other, mm-hmm. or they couldn't understand where we were coming from.
Yeah.
So if you actually heard it verbalized. And communicated amongst each other, maybe it would be more understandable. So I think that worked really well. So,
I agree.
So on that note, let me ask you this. What did you think of our feedback? MIA in Austria, how was it? How was the excellent adventure through Europe?
Oh, my goodness. Austria. Are you guys asking me about Austria? It's amazing. Yeah, I went to Austria, I went to Slovakia, and I went to Bavaria. And, you know, I did a little bit of nerdy Austrian economics tour there. I went to go see, like, the Karl Menger plaque. I tried to find the Ludwig von Mises plaque. But no one could tell me where it was, and no one. And no one in Austria.
I don't care.
Wow. They don't care. Wow.
They don't practice Austrian economics.
They don't.
Matt Scarrow went to Europe, and nobody knew what the hell he was talking about.
But come on, Donnie. No one wants to know about my Austrian trip. Get in with the juice.
What I want to know is why now? Why'd you go to Austria then? In the middle of the campaign.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Look, it wasn't in the middle of the campaign. I knew that I would have 6 weeks, and I knew that I would need to have a little bit of a break before I came back and hit it strong. And I also made a point to prepare myself before I went to Austria. If you guys look back at that time, I was dumping content every single day.
Sure.
I was responding to articles that I had written. And I've had a plan from the beginning of, I knew this would be the tortoise and the hare. And, you know, some of my other candidates might be petering out a bit, but I am starting to sprint, and you guys are going to see a big finish from me. And I think, you know, like a big part of that has been the multimedia videos that I've been producing, too. So
absolutely.
I hope you guys like them.
We were talking about them there. So.
Yeah, you weren't in the room.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Who's got something?
Well, you earlier we were talking, and you said we don't need to protect any of the candidates.
Correct.
The candidates should all go to public scrutiny. Everyone should be put on the table for exactly who they are. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons I'm talking about this is because it's no secret. I'm loud. I tell everybody. I got convicted of selling pot at 19, got a prison sentence. So I am a convicted felon.
Right.
And I get judged for that in many ways, even though I haven't committed a crime in 17 years. So I have to put this on the table is I heard you were arrested for a burglary in Ohio. And I would really like you to clear up, were you convicted? What happened? How can we support you? how are you going to get around that in a campaign and not have that hurt us as a party?
Because how can you say taxation is theft if you have
if you've stolen?
Sure. I was never charged with burglary, by the way. It was a theft charge, and yes, I was. I was charged with theft, but I was never convicted. I do not have a felony on my record. Otherwise, I don't think I could run.
You can run for statewide office.
For
you
governor.
Can't run for local office.
In any case.
The higher you go, the more forgiving they are.
You cannot be Peoria dog catcher, but you can be Illinois governor.
Wow.
What's the dirt? What happened? What's the deal?
Look, I got charged with a theft charge when I was in college 15 years ago.
Is it a prank or what's going on?
What happened? What was the situation around it?
You always say you're unabashed about who you are.
Okay. When I was in college, I took me and a friend were drinking at a party, and there were some girls that I was friendly with, and I had stolen some medication from them. Literally, we stole like 5 pills from one of their pill bottles, and we took them back, and we never even ate them, and we were going to look up what they were, and so we took them, and the girl ended up finding out. She called the police on us. The police searched my room without a warrant, without telling me about it. They brought me into the station, asked me some questions, and I admitted to it. I wrote an apology letter, and I was convicted of a misdemeanor.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing, is that I did a year of probation, and I have had my record completely expunged. Mm-hmm. So in the eyes of the court, I don't have a record. And that's why when anyone asks me, like, what's your record? I said, my record's clear, you know? It's been expunged. I did what I was supposed to do. But it's there, and you guys can go online, and you can search it, and you can find it. But that's the truth. And here's the other thing, is that I've gone on record and talked about this at Champaign on camera, mm-hmm. and I also talked about this about 8 months ago at the Fox Valley Libertarian Party. But the biggest and most important part about it is that I was upfront about this on my application when I applied with the state party to Jason Howard. He can confirm that I wrote this on my application. Wow. So I've never hid from this, you know, at any point in my life. The only thing I could say is it was 15 years ago, quite literally. I was a different man then. I've made a lot of mistakes.
You don't even drink.
Yeah. I don't drink anymore. That's because I do stupid things when I drink.
So. Well, speaking as one guy who committed a crime 17 years ago,
yeah.
I accept that you're a totally different person today.
Thank you.
Be judged for
it. Amen to that.
Yeah, don't look me up on Judiciary in Tazewell County.
So, and to be fair, though, I just want to say that we do talk about how we have 3 great candidates, and I like them all. They're really good guys. But, I mean, that thing comes up, and there's an image issue, just like when Cash... when you look up Cash, for some reason you find a name called Benjamin Winderweedle, you know, and he's got...
Is the stuff that bugs us because we're like, man, I really want to get behind this guy. I want to get behind this guy. And when we're the 3 candidates, we're like, we can deal with this. But once they get out in the national territory or the statewide territory, mm-hmm. we're scared as hell, you know. Did we back the wrong guy because there was some, like, mm-hmm. skeleton ready to creep and pop out of the closet?
And that scares the crap out of us, especially, you know, and I'm probably, you know how the party is. The cult following of Cash is probably going to kill me here. But, you know, you've got the name change. You've got the fact that, he's got his family court issues. And I feel like if we put someone like that, or even with your charge, Matt, even if you can explain it away, just like Chad Grimm could explain away his DUIs, with Cash too, with that whole thing with the family rights and everything, I'm scared of him looking like a deadbeat dad, even though he's not. He's a great guy. That view, the name change, just dismissing him because of that.
Yeah.
And same thing with what's going on. You Google search your name, you got that. David Earl Williams. I'm just going to go. Let me just do this. I'm just going to go.
Go for it. We were soft on Sanj.
Yeah.
We could have said that.
But Sanj killed the man.
Yes. No.
No, he didn't kill
him. Get out of here. Right. Stop that time of podcast, guys.
Killed him with kindness.
Oh, boy. That would hurt my heart. But no, I mean,
for
I
the
think
record,
that
was a joke.
That was a joke, just like Kitchengate joke, complete joke. But I do think that it worries me, and just like David Earl Williams, just to air that, you know, when you search him, you see stuff about stalking charges, and I'm tired of the Libertarian Party having this amazing message, and then we have to go back and defend. Just like you said, you want to be what, a fucking gladiator, right?
I am a fucking
gladiator. Well, I believe that. But I don't want to have to be on the defensive. Gladiators don't go on the defensive. They attack.
I'm attacking.
You know? And so I'm tired of having to defend people, whether it be a
lot
of...
And let me point out something, too. You know, that was from 15 years ago. And I've obviously had to explain something about that. We've had 2 candidates here who have had to roll back statements that they've made in the past year. Mm-hmm. Right? Well, you know, I mean, Cash Jackson said that he was going to run against the Libertarian candidate for Illinois governor. Mm. He said that publicly. that he would run against us.
Is that
and I'm sorry, but your guy, John Stewart, has made Holocaust jokes twice on camera. If you think that that won't come out in the media, well, that is going to be a big one.
Let's be honest. He was talking that there's a Holocaust going on in the south.
I don't think anyone really thinks there's a Holocaust. There's no Auschwitz in Austin.
Right, but there is serious genocide going on, and you know that.
But Holocaust is not a term that we want to throw around, right?
Fair.
But here's the thing. I've never had to roll back any of these statements.
You don't Google John Stewart's name and see Holocaust, you know?
Now you see wrestler. He probably would roll back some of the wrestlers.
Or Daily Show.
Go ahead, Jason. Jason wants to say something.
Yes, I do.
I know, but Daily Show, though.
Daily Show.
During our meeting, I went hard on Matt. I asked him some serious questions that people had and said that he came off as arrogant, but he's very intelligent. And because of his intelligence, let him get away with it.
Yeah.
I have no problem asking Matt that. And the one thing that I get leery about with John Stewart, and I'm not saying I won't support him, is he voted for Donald Trump over Johnson.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we want to nominate a guy to the Libertarian Party and be the face of our party for the state that didn't even back our national candidate and back Donald Trump over him.
Tell me.
Do you guys believe that he voted for Gary Johnson, or do you think he voted for Mitt Romney in 2008?
That I don't know. You have to ask John.
John said he voted.
I did not know.
John said he voted for Gary Johnson. And then all those pictures came out of him with Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and him passing out Mitt Romney business cards. So to me, like, I don't know. I'm going to take John at his word. I like John Stewart. But that, to me, I felt like he was lying there. I really do.
Sure. And here's the thing, though, with John, though. And seriously, I should probably recuse myself from this combo about it. But I'm just going to say this, though, that it was very hard to support Gary Johnson at the end. It was extremely hard. And so when Donald Trump started talking about ending the wars and some of those things at the end of the convention where he's pandering towards libertarians, you know, I could see the sell there, especially when you got Gary Johnson running around and he doesn't know his head from his ass.
Right.
You know, that was hard. And you guys agree?
I agree. And I think I agree.
I was excited to have the sign in my yard, and toward the end I was like, I'm voting for the guy. But fair point, Matt.
I also want to say that, you know, John Stewart has also been a libertarian for many, many, many years.
Sure.
And both you and Cash have not.
He's been a libertarian longer, technically, than Cash and I have been combined.
Yeah.
Although I've never seen him before this election cycle.
And one thing that he did bring up is he thought about running as a libertarian candidate back in 2006.
Yes.
So that's a track record.
And like, I understand the fear of it, you know. It's hard. And that's what we hope, that when one of you guys get the nomination, that you can give us an avenue to run as a libertarian. You know, I'm tired of having to say, well, could we run as a Republican or... You know, I don't want to do that anymore.
Look, I give you all my word. If you nominate me as your candidate for governor, I will work harder than any candidate you've ever had in the past. I will break records, and I will run a campaign that you can all be proud of. I give you my word.
Absolutely.
And one more thing. Hey, Sanj.
Yes,
Sanj,
sir.
Listen, hey, about your whole little comment, whether it's you or David or whoever it is, about you taking a back seat or whatever, I want to run a campaign with you or whoever the lieutenant governor is. We're going to do it just like Gary Johnson and that other guy.
That other guy. We separated you guys specifically for a reason.
A partnership happening.
Yeah, I feel like there's an olive branch.
I will say that Matt and I were at DeKalb the other night, and I asked him if he would like to eliminate the lieutenant governor position. Matt, you could probably...
Yeah, I don't actually advocate for getting rid of the lieutenant governor position. I don't think that it makes a whole lot of sense. I think the idea... It's like, so we're just trying to, like, limit the size of government, but the lieutenant governor is not a very big salary, you know? And I like having that fail-safe there. I like the idea of, if it's not me, it's Sanj, because if it's not Sanj, wouldn't it go to Michael Madigan?
Oh, yeah.
That sounds terrifying. That sounds terrifying. So if they... You know, if they put a bullet in my wig because I try to go after these bureaucrats, I want Sanj to take the reins, or whoever the lieutenant governor is.
I would get the bullet, so.
Right. and then Madigan. I don't even think he's a real human, so. Okay, well.
I think, you know, is there anything you want to, any last thing you want to say before we shut this down?
Man, you know, I'm going to be here next month. Regardless of how this thing turns out, I'm coming back to say thank you. Thank you either for supporting me or for just giving me the opportunity to come and speak. Yeah, I love you guys, and you know, I can't say enough. And vote your conscience, but if no one else says it to you, every single one of you here and every person listening, I want your vote March 3rd. I want it. And And I swear to you, I will run a campaign you can be proud of. So a vote for me is a vote for success. Let's go set some records. Let's go break this two-party system together.
Thank you. I feel like we should clap.
Yeah. He's like a cheerleader, man. He's like...
Yeah. He gets you pumped up.
He does. I'm like, let's go out and get some signatures, man. Let's do it.
Jason?
Come on, Jason. Let's just go off from here. Get some
signs. That is prime and not March 27th.
Matt, thank you for coming. Thank you.
We're live.
All right. We'll see you, buddy. Shake it hard.
He's saying bye.
Yes. If there's some babies, he'd be kissing them right now.
Yeah, he would be. He'd look good doing it.
He'd be shaking babies and kissing hands, right? Wait.
Scandal.
Definitely.
Okay.
All right. So I think we did a pretty good job. I know we didn't want to get really heavy into that charge thing, but I felt like, because of our consciences, we felt like it was something we never could really ask. I'm glad we did it. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I had not even caught any of that other stuff he'd done before in the past, so... Mm-hmm. I feel so much better. I can not tell you what I did in college. And
right.
I have a misdemeanor still on file in Tazewell County. If you want to look it up, you can. We all did stupid stuff, you know, years ago. So what he's talking about there doesn't bug
me. No, and I think that if we're really vetting these candidates and we're really going to look, libertarianism, we're all here on a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. It's what is time? Is it 9 o'clock, almost 9, 10, 9:15? We're here on a Thursday night to talk about libertarianism. This means everything to us. So if we're going to make someone the face of our party, they damn well better be vetted. And we need to ask these questions. And us not doing it isn't fair. Yep. You know, and to I know we're probably going to get killed for some of the stuff we've said tonight, but I think it's important that we bring it up and bring it to light.
I don't think so.
But before we close, I would just like to announce I want to make a big endorsement of one of our candidates.
Uh-oh.
I officially endorsed Donnie for chairman.
Yes.
I second that now.
I will go in as a third. Donnie, we'll make sure that he's the next chairman of the Libertarian Party of Greater
Peoria. You never know.
Greater Peoria. Bennett, don't worry.
Shows up at the last second. Yeah. You never know.
If we have to rig it, it will happen.
And to all you libertarian ears out there, I mean this with sincerity, we need 50,000 signatures in 90 days. We can talk about the candidates. We can plead their case. We can be emotional for them. We can vote for them. But guess what? If we don't get those 50,000 signatures, we're never hit 5%.
And let me add one more thing, and I'm going to shut up. But honestly, if we... don't think that the Republican Party is going to be challenging our petitions this year. You are living on another planet. We are going to have serious competition to get our signatures validated. The Democrats might like us, but the Republicans want us off because we will take votes from them.
Let me tell you what I'm doing. I've pledged to get 500 signatures personally.
Minimum.
I don't do maximums. That makes no sense to me.
David Earl Williams did.
But anyways, well, here's the deal. I put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to give $2 for every signature I don't get to 500.
Oh.
So if I only get 200 signatures, I'm giving $600 to a libertarian candidate. So we need to get out there. We need to get those signatures. Put your feet where the pins are and get those signatures for us.
Absolutely. And
that's kind of a crap challenge because we want the money and we want the signatures. So how do we get both?
What if they're
signatures first? Signatures first. Signatures first.
Conflicted.
Well, I'm going to tell you this.
They're going to get challenged.
So. I'm going to give my heart, my soul, and my money to the Libertarian Party this year.
All right.
If they can take $268,000 from me for pot fines, the Libertarian Party can have 1,000 of it.
Do you think it's safe to say that Jason Spires is that libertarian?
He is very libertarian. You know what we need to do the next time we do one of those videos is we need to go to the empty seat and say, where are you?
Get 15 years of your life where all your liberty is taken from you, and you will be that libertarian.
Does marriage count? All right. Anyway. No, it was a joke. It's a joke. My wife doesn't listen. Thank you.
Everything's a joke.
All right. So, really, Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. This is Eric Stahl,
Jacob Irish,
Jason Spires,
Dana Olson,
Donnie Henry.
It has been a pleasure. Can't wait to talk to you again next month.